It's the KPI Cafe, a place where conversations happen that aspire to elevate retail automotive. I'm your host, Dane Seville, brand and public relations manager for Reunion Marketing, a full-service digital marketing agency that graciously affords me this platform to bring you perspectives and insights from thought leaders across a full spectrum of disciplines. As always, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it may be. I hope my voice reaches you well, and it's time for another KPI Cafe. So I'm going to be honest. When we first formed Reunion Marketing, I was one of those people who kept clamoring about how far behind automotive retail was in digital marketing. I mean, I came from an agency that worked with national clients and these huge budgets who wanted to hear from a creative director with teams of designers and coders and copywriters and analysts and so on and so forth, all working for his or her associate creative directors. You know, I came from a different background, but when Reunion started partnering with companies in other verticals, I realized actually just how well automotive retail had embraced digital marketing for a small business. Believe me, I remember a dentist telling us she thought her website was perfect. It was literally one page with about 10,000 words and a smattering of pictures of her throughout. And there was no way to schedule an appointment, except if you were on mobile, or I guess really, you know, on desktop, you had to write her number down to then call her. You know, you could not click to call. But for all that is done right and done well, there's still a lot of bad philosophies and poor work out there. And it helped me unpack a lot of that and set some records straight. I have a friend of Reunion's, and ironically, also a competitor and longtime thought leader, someone I have looked to for perspective and insights. He is the vice president of search at Search Lab. He is Mr. Greg Gifford. Greg, thanks for joining me on the KPI Cafe.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So before we really get into the meat of things, I like to ask people their origin stories, like where they come from. And as I was saying before I recorded, I knew you from, you know, we met when you were still at DealerOn, but like, how'd you get to where you are now? How'd you even get automotive? Where'd you come from?
Yeah. So way back in the day it had to be in the mid 90s or late 90s. I was self-taught on computers. Like I was in college in the early 90s and I had a laptop, which was like a crazy thing back then. It lasted 15 minutes on the battery. So it was crazy. But I started just kind of learning HTML and stuff just because I'm a nerd and I thought it would be cool to do. And I had a buddy that said, hey, I just opened a business. Can you make a website for me? And I'm like, sure, I'll do something cool. And he wanted it to be catchy. And that was right when Flash came out. And so another friend of mine was like, you should check out this Flash thing. And so I was a film major in college, and Flash at the time wasn't very much code intensive. It was more like graphics on a timeline, which clicked with me because it was just like editing film or TV with the timeline basis. So when Flash first came out, most people were trying to emulate HTML with Flash and just add animation, where I approached it more like a video, like telling a story, or like thinking animation first instead of website first. And so I made some really awesome sites, which now we'd look back on and go, oh my God, why did you have a 2-minute animated intro? But hey, at the time it was super catchy and cool. Ended up doing my own company, doing Flash websites, then partnered with a guy and we rolled that into a company. We did Flash websites and Flash hosting. That's when I kind of started getting into SEO, because Flash doesn't show up to Google. So we had to figure out ways to get the content to show up in Google, which we just did, not realizing it was super black hat stuff. And then things didn't go well with my partners, and I decided it was time to leave that venture. And so I was looking for a gig, and my skills at the time were mostly Flash and design based. And so I was looking around, and it kind of came down to two jobs. I could have gone to work for Match.com, which would have been a really crazy story, or I ended up working at a company called Autorevo, which is a website company for independent dealers. And so I worked there for eight and a half years. Started off as a Flash designer, very quickly, within 6 months, was head of the design department. Within a month or two after that, they were like, you are really way too highly qualified for this position. Why don't you run our entire marketing team? So then I ran marketing for the company. Then we decided we wanted to start selling SEO as a service, and we started interviewing. They had me run the interview since I knew the most about it, and we couldn't find anybody that we thought was qualified enough. So the owner of the company said, why don't you start the SEO team and we'll hire somebody else to do marketing. So that's how I really got heavily into automotive SEO. And so I built that agency from, you know, not existing, or the agency side, the SEO side of Autorevo, from not existing to several million dollars of revenue. And that's when I started speaking at digital marketing conferences first, and then started speaking at automotive conferences about 10 years ago, and kind of got on everybody's radar a little bit. And DealerOn came after me really, really hard. And then some interesting things happened at Autorevo, and it was time for me to leave and move on. And ended up going over to DealerOn, doing the same thing. They weren't selling SEO. They wanted to start selling SEO. So they hired me to come in and do that. So I built out that whole service and the entire department. It was all based in Dallas at the time, and went from zero, or, you know, I was the first employee in that department. When I left, there were more than 30. Wow. Grew that to a multi-million dollar agency as well. Left, went somewhere briefly for a few months. It was a little bit of a hiccup and things did not work out well there. Ended up at Search Lab, and Search Lab hired me kind of to do the same thing. They were ready to really kind of grow and scale, and they wanted me to come in and do what I'd done before and kind of retool the processes and get them set up to be more efficient and to be able to grow. And now we're mostly car dealers, probably 70% car dealers, but we've got stuff in other verticals as well. And that's kind of where I am today and where I came from.
Great. Well, I knew I chose the right guest with the right background, who also chose the right shirt for this interview, because I want you to terrorize and gobble up all the bad shit that's happening.
It's my Japanese SEO. Jaws shirt.
Oh, all right. I've never seen a Japanese Jaws shirt before.
Yeah, like 80% of my wardrobe, well, probably 65-70% of my wardrobe is Star Wars t-shirts. And then the remaining bit of my wardrobe is movie poster shirts in other languages, which tend to be a lot of Asian stuff because they just make a lot of those types of shirts. But yeah, movie posters in other languages. So
I don't know if you ever wear button-ups, but have you seen the Roosevelt's brand?
Oh yeah.
Because they did some Star Wars lines.
They did Star Wars. They had a Ghostbusters thing that was really cool. Yeah, I dig their shirts, but it's just not really my style.
I gotcha.
So I don't have any.
I got you. No worries. But so let's kind of dive into it. So this will be a loaded question. You can go on as many tangents as you want. I'm going to write down notes voraciously as I can. So like I said in the opening, for as much as is done right, and there are good conversations happening, and there's good people like you out there, there's also still a lot of bad happening. There's also still a lot of bad work, a lot of bad SEO, a lot of bad practices and bad philosophies. So loaded question, we'll unpack it. What are some primary things you're still seeing that are plaguing automotive SEO that's just being done wrong, that is coming at with the wrong approach to serving car dealers?
Well, I mean, the most important thing is just outdated tactics, outdated strategies. So, you know, a lot of people in automotive don't realize that I speak at conferences outside of auto as well. And I'm lucky that I get to speak at conferences all over the world. So I'm exposed to a lot of different countries and a lot of different verticals. And automotive in the US is really the only vertical out there that I know of where you have a third-party company that gets to choose the vendors that the people in that vertical are allowed to use. And then there's a co-op system that strongly encourages or basically forces dealers to use those providers, which then ends up with it's like everybody's marrying their cousins. Like, it starts to get really, really bad. Once you get into these OEM programs, it's a lot harder to change your strategies. You have to offer the same thing to everyone. So the vast majority of digital marketing services in automotive are these people that are in these vendor approved programs, but they're just doing the same cookie cutter thing to every single dealership, regardless of that dealer's individual needs. And you guys get this because you guys understand that you've got to look at the actual needs of the dealership and fill in the holes and weak points of what they've got in their digital footprint. But most dealers kind of just approach SEO as an afterthought. They don't have it as a priority. So that's a major problem. And then you've got these outdated strategies that are being used either by those vendors or by people in-house at the dealerships, because again, it's this kind of small pond incestuous situation where if you've got somebody in-house at the dealership or at a group level, you know, a lot of groups have like entire marketing teams, but they're not sending these people out to digital marketing conferences to learn. They're staying stagnant and only sending them to automotive conferences where it's the same. I mean, you see it. It's you guys talk about SEO. We talk about SEO. George Nenny talks about Google My Business. Usually somebody from PCG is going to be there talking about SEO. It's the same four or five people every time saying the same stuff. Not that what any of us talk about isn't helpful, but they're only paying attention to the same four or five people every year at these conferences instead of branching out and saying, yeah, we have some specific needs for automotive, but let's go to a digital marketing conference and see all of these top experts in SEO. So it's just stagnation of ideas, outdated content. And then, gosh, I could go on. This is going to be the longest. You're going to have to cut me off. It's a bad idea to go. There's not really a time constraint. Just go, Mr. Talkie. You know, the other thing too is it's this kind of, you know, like you mentioned, there's bad people that do SEO. It's the snake oil salesmen, the smoke and mirrors guys. SEO is hard to understand. So a lot of dealers are kind of shy about SEO because they've been burned in the past by vendors that they spend lots and lots of money with and don't get results. And they've spent money with the OEM approved vendors and spent a lot of money and not gotten results. So now it's because you've been burned so many times, you're more hesitant to invest in SEO. So it's that, you know, that side of things too. It's people are scared to invest because they've been burned in the past. So then you've also got you guys, me, other people that have been speaking about all the things that you need to do for years. I've been talking on automotive conferences for a decade now. And if you go back and look at the stuff I was saying at Digital Dealer 10 years ago, easily 50% of the stuff I was saying then, I'm still saying now, because the basics, the core tenets haven't changed. But if so many people are talking about this for 10 years plus, why aren't dealers doing these things? It's not like SEO is hard to do. It's just time consuming. So there's just a whole lot there to unpack. That was a really loaded question to start with.
So, I mean, it's still no changes. I mean, like you said, there's people pounding the war drum of GMB and separate listings and pounding the war drum of good content, not just the stock content you can get from these different platforms. What in your conversation with dealers, what do you think is the hesitation? What's the obstacle that's keeping them from implementing these things that, like you said, you have all these people saying the same thing. Why is it still a roadblock for so many dealers to actually do it?
Dealers have so many things on their plate and so many things they have to worry about. And it's all these different vendor relationships they have to coordinate. And SEO is hard to understand. One of the things that I've been talking about the last few years is, you know, you've got dealerships that don't bat an eyelid at dropping 40 or 50K a month on paid search. But that's easy to understand. I spent this money on these ads that resulted in these clicks and these appointments set or these service ups or whatever it would be. With SEO, it's harder to do that. It's harder to say, I spent this money. Here's exactly what I got with this spend. And here's exactly the results I got, because SEO moves at a slower pace. The things that you're paying an SEO person, whether it's somebody in-house on your team or on the group's team or a vendor partner that you work with, you are paying for someone to do tasks this month in November to benefit your SEO. But the things that we're doing this month don't really end up benefiting you until 2 or 3 months from now. So whatever you're currently doing with SEO, you're usually getting that return 2-3 months down the road. And it's a cumulative process too. So for the first 6 to 8 months, that's how long you got to wait to start to see results. And that's hard for people to understand as well. It's like, wait, I got to spend most of the time at least a couple of grand a month, but I don't really expect to see results for 6 months. I get it. That's a scary proposition. So there's a whole lot there to unpack. It's they've been burned in the past. And even if they haven't been burned, it's hard to understand exactly what you get, especially with a lot of these vendors that put in the bare minimum and they don't want to let you know, hey, look, here's what you're actually getting. They give you this big list and it's, you'll get up to 5 pieces of content a month or 10 pieces. And by month 3, you're getting a blog post a month and that's it, because it's up to, not exactly. And, you know, and I'm sure you guys have heard the horror stories too. A lot of these big agency, you know, internal agencies at the big website provider companies, and even some of the agencies that are not website providers, they're completely overloaded. Like, it's not uncommon for a single SEO person on a team to be responsible for 80 to 100 dealerships a month. And if you do the math on that, if they're working 40 hours of productive work, so no internal meetings, nothing else other, you know, no client phone calls, even, all they're doing is actual work that's going to benefit the SEO of the dealers they work with. There's 40 hours a week, 4 weeks a month gives you 160 hours a month. If you've got 100 clients, that's less than 2 hours a month. If you're at 80 clients, 80 dealerships you're working with, that means you're spending 2 hours a month on that dealership's SEO. That there's no possible way that in 2 hours you're going to do anything that's effective. So there's just so many moving pieces that make it more difficult. And dealers want to use co-op to choose who they can pick, because then, hey, my SEO doesn't cost me anything because I get reimbursed. But who cares if you get reimbursed and doesn't cost anything if it's not going to do anything for you? And with COVID and the inventory shortage, we know people are shopping around. We know showing up is important, but it's not about just showing up. It's about showing up and having that awesome content and having that awesome identity so that people remember you and come back later when they're ready to convert and buy. And dealers are still in the, let me see what my competitors are doing. Like, oh, my competitors, this guy across town selling more cars than anybody else, I need to do exactly what he does. But if he's across town, his market's slightly different than yours. And even if you're the same brand, you run the dealership differently. So there's unique things about you, and you can't just parrot what everybody else is doing. And, you know, third-party leads were huge for a long time. And now, you know, for years, I've always told dealers, look, don't even do that. Don't spend money on something that's going to advertise to your competitors. You think it's important because you understand Auto Trader. The general public doesn't go, I need to buy a car, let me go to Auto Trader. They're only going to go to Auto Trader if they can't find something in their local market that's really specific that they're looking for. So for years, it was always get rid of third-party leads. But now with the inventory situation, maybe third-party leads make sense because you can get more visibility outside your local area. So there's just so many really complex pieces to the puzzle. It's hard for somebody at the dealership to wrap their heads around it. I mean, you've got guys like Sean Raines, who we're all friends with, who has now done his own thing with Dealer Superhero, where his entire consulting business is based around, I'm going to be the guy that's going to come in and help you understand what's going on with your vendors. Because between paid search and SEO and email marketing and any conquest marketing and your website vendor and your chat vendor and your DMS and everything else you've got to do, that's a lot to have to understand. And of course, everybody can give you data that says that they're the best solution and that it's working, but it's just, there's a lot to it. So it's difficult to unpack for dealerships. And I think that's why SEO kind of falls by the wayside. And, you know, there was a whole thread on Facebook the other day where Glenn Pash mentioned that he was auditing some sites after Digital Dealer, and all these sites had pages that were duplicated on thousands of other dealership sites. And it was more a situation of, he was pointing out that these dealers were paying for SEO and they still had the duplicate sites. But the thread turned into everybody complaining about the website vendor saying, well, why are you going to go to a dealer.com, a Dealer Inspire, a Dealer On, a Dealery Process, whoever it might be, if they're going to give you these pages of content that are on thousands of other sites? And, you know, he jumped back in and said, no, 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 I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these guys are paying for SEO and they still have these duplicate pages. And then, you know, I jumped in. Yago from Dealery Process jumped in, and we were all kind of explaining to the dealers in the thread that, like, look, it's not your website provider's job to give you unique content. You're spending the money to have this unique website that we have to have in automotive that works with your inventory feeds and does all the things that you need it to do. You're paying for the platform. You're not paying for additional content. It takes effort to research and write original content. That's why you've got to either handle it in-house or hire a partner to do it. But it's important to understand the responsibilities of that partner or that person in-house to make sure they're doing the things they should be doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you said there are so many moving pieces, so many things to keep track of, so many things to measure, and you're hearing and how to measure even updates and changes and evolves. And I'm encouraged, you know, like some of the things you were talking about, like with co-op programs and these national entities, a lot of dealers are starting to realize the issue of cannibalism. Like if you're representing me, you can't represent this Ford dealer right down the street from me. Like there's a conflict of interest, right? And I think, I don't know if it's a matter of conflating acronyms, but it's like, I don't know if dealers associate SEO with like, it's like a light switch, like how you invest in SEM, like you said, you spend this money in SEM and there's like this clear correlation and you get more of a quicker return on an understanding like what you're getting for it. And I think a lot of dealers almost conflate it like SEO is also like that. Like SEO is a light switch. Like we can cut it off. And then when we just turn it right back on, we're back in the SERPs, we're back in the results. Yep. And with the inventory shortage, a lot of pushback from dealers was, listen, I don't have new inventory, so I don't really have a need. But it's like, what about your used cars? What about your fixed ops? What about your parts department? There are other operations in the dealership in which you can create good, fresh, new content that will continue to help you conduct the business you're trying to conduct.
Exactly. And you guys have had the conversations before. I know because over the years I've talked to you about it, that one of the biggest education points that we have when we're talking to prospective dealers that we might work with or dealers that we've just started working with is a lot of dealers, when they think SEO, they're thinking, I need to show up for whatever brand I sell in my city, like Ford Dealer Dallas, or they need to show up for specific new models that they sell. And it's not even on their radar to show up for used cars. It's not even on their radar to show up for any fixed up stuff at all. It's not on their radar to show up for hiring and for open positions. Like that's a big thing that we were talking about in Vegas a couple of weeks back about how a lot of dealerships are struggling hiring service techs right now because there's just a labor shortage. Well, you could do SEO on that. You can run ads on that. There's ways to market around these things. And you know, those cookie cutter SEO systems where you're just getting the same generic BS, you know, assembly line SEO strategy. Yeah, I get it. A lot of dealers are like, we don't have cars on the ground. Let's cut SEO. There's no reason to do this. But what they really should be doing is working with the right vendors or educating their internal team the right way to say, hey, look, we don't really have to worry about going after cars right now. Let's go after used cars or buyback programs, or we'll buy your car even if you don't buy a car from us, or all the fixed up stuff. And some dealers that we talk to, they're like, oh yeah, well, you know, we're already pretty full with you know, the service lane. We just don't need any help there. Okay, well, you're not getting any more cars for this foreseeable future to sell. Let's worry about buying cars or booking service. If you're full with service, let's hire more techs so you can get more appointments in and make more money. Like, let's not. So many dealers are still in that pre-COVID state of mind going, I'm just kind of coasting until we get back to normal. And right now, so many people are making money hand over fist because of the inventory shortage. They're not thinking about the future. And they're not thinking about the fact that this inventory shortage isn't going to be over in a few months. I mean, we still got another year, year and a half, 2 years of this inventory shortage. Now it looks like we're going to have an aluminum shortage besides the chip shortage. So people need to think ahead. Like right now, everybody's making money and it's great, but that's not going to last. What are you going to do when that's over?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the idea of being able to pivot, being agile, thinking outside the box, like you said, like with the buyback or even pre-order campaigns, we were telling dealers, why not create this content that, why would you pass up on capturing consumers' information in any way possible that you can, whether it's we'll buy your car even if you don't buy from us, a pre-order campaign, anything to capture it. So when you have that supply to meet that demand, you have the demand in your CRM, right? You have the you have the customer captured. And the other part of it too is with SEO and our philosophy at Reunion is that, you know, with SEO, the SEO we do for our dealer partners also involves conversion rate optimization.
Yep.
And I think that's a lost component in that. Number one, I think a lot of vendors don't do any sort of conversion rate optimization. They focus on, oh, we sent you all this traffic. Look at all this traffic we sent. But they're not really doing anything on the site to help ensure that traffic converts. So I think a lot of dealers also don't have the focus, or, you know, like you said, there's so many moving parts. You might not even be aware of that conversion rate optimization is part of that SEO. It's part understanding how, where they're bouncing, what's going on, how, you know, where on the page they're getting to, how they're interacting with the content that you have, and then making adjustments on the website according to that data.
Exactly.
With, we said, clearly there's snake oil salesmen out there. If you could tell a dealer, even if, you know, however many you can think of, just whatever comes to mind, what do you think are some red flags whenever to identify snake oil salesmen? What should a dealer watch out for? And they hear something and they go, oh shit, I'm just being sold this bullshit.
Yeah. Guaranteed ranking is a big one. Nobody can guarantee rankings, especially without having done any research into your market. Even beyond that, ranking is just a bad metric for success. And that's a whole nother conversation. We don't want to go down that rabbit hole. Another one is, I want to mention this. I know we're talking SEO, but on the paid search side, if you're working with a vendor that doesn't give you access to the ads account, that's run away from that. You should always own your ad account. On the SEO side, you should always, you'd be surprised how many dealers I've talked to over the years that have done SEO with the vendor and that vendor's never asked for access to their Google Analytics to see what's going on with their site. That's a big scary one. You should always be able to ask your vendor, what exactly am I getting for my money? Like, before you engage with them, what am I going to get on a monthly basis? Give me a line item list of here's what you get. And if it's something that is this, I can't really answer that, that's scary. They should for sure be able to tell you how many, how many things they're doing for you, specifically what they're doing. You need to ask them what their major KPIs are, because if their KPIs are, we're going to get you to rank, if ranking doesn't mean anything to your bottom line as a dealer. It should always be about increasing your traffic and increasing your leads. You want to make sure that they are including adding content, because there's vendors out there that will just suggest ideas, but they won't actually do the implementation and write the content and publish the content for you. There's a lot of shady providers out there. Some of them in the OEM approved program, where if you're on the low end of the packages, you only get to meet with your SEO person once a quarter. Like, you should be getting monthly reports. It's a good idea to ask the potential vendor partner how many clients each person on their team handles. There's two major ways an agency is going to be set up. They're either going to have a team-based approach where you're going to have topic experts in the various areas. So you'll have some technical people, you'll have some writers, you'll have some people that optimize content, some people that handle GMB, some people that handle reviews. You're probably going to end up talking to an account manager that's just their job, is to just talk to all the dealers and not actually do the work. And then you're going to have other people that have it set up more like a boutique type of setup, where one consultant does all the stuff and you talk directly to the consultant. In either case, even though an agency may be team-based, you're still going to know, okay, this, you know, we've got 25 people on our team split into four different groups, but on average, each person is going to work on 75 dealers a month. They're still going to be able to tell you that. Or if it's the individual thing, it's how many dealers go per person. That's important to know, because like we mentioned earlier, if it's 75, 80, 100 plus, you can back into the math really easily and say, okay, you're telling me you're going to do all these things, but you're only giving that person an hour and a half to 2 hours a month to do this. And one of those hours is the phone call that we do, which means they're getting 30 to 45 minutes a month to actually do all these things. There's no way that's going to work. The easiest way to think of working with an SEO partner is it's almost like an attorney. Not so much that every time you pick up the phone, your bill goes up, but when people kind of understand that attorneys bill by time, the more time spent, the more your bill goes. SEO is not really the same thing. It's more you're kind of prepaying for a bucket of time, and that bucket of time is going to get used every month. It's important to understand how much time is in that bucket and how that time is going to be utilized.
Great. Awesome. Great insights. Great points. I love some of those questions. We've talked a lot about, you know, what's wrong, and you know, and identifying snake oil salesmen. And I want to change the tone of it. Let's talk about whether it's a dealer can look for it themselves, or they can ask their internal team agency partner about what are some best practices in automotive SEO today. What are some things that absolutely must be being done for dealers to ensure that they're getting quality SEO?
It's a great question. So first of all, you need, kind of coming off what we just said, you need a lower number of dealers per person to be sure that they have time. Anybody that's going to do good SEO is going to invest some time to get those things done. You want to be sure that they understand the technical side of SEO. A lot of vendors in automotive don't do anything with technical because they say, oh, it's all the vendors and we can't change anything on those sites, which isn't true. You know, that one really major vendor that rhymes with Schmieler.bomb, there's a lot of technical issues with those sites that you need to be sure your vendor partner can address some of those issues. You know, you want to make sure that they're writing content, but that the content has a purpose. There are vendors in automotive that will sell you on their SEO based solely on the fact that, hey, we give you 20 pages of content a month. All right, cool. What's the strategy there? You're giving me 240 pages a year with no strategy other than we're giving you 20 pages a month. I want to know what the strategy is. So your vendor, a good vendor is going to tell you, here's the content that you're getting and here's why we're giving you that content. And they're going to monitor the performance of that content. A good vendor is going to do link building as well, because having links from other websites pointed to your dealership site is massively important, but a lot of vendors don't do that because it's difficult and time consuming. So you want to make sure somebody's including that. You definitely need to be sure that Google My Business is included, because Google My Business is massively important. And a lot of dealers only think about Google My Business as this is the info panel that shows up whenever somebody does a Google search for the name of my dealership. But they're not thinking about the fact that your Google My Business information allows you to show up in the map pack if somebody is just looking for a more generalized query. And not only that, how well it's optimized influences how you show up in that map pack. It also influences how you show up in Google Maps. So there's a lot of places that Google My Business influences as far as where you're showing up in search results. So it's really important to not just say, okay, cool, we'll check and make sure everything's right. Like, it should be a monthly effort of optimization and tweaking on Google My Business.
Great. I love all of that. Content with a purpose. That's so many times we've been asked by dealers, how much content am I going to get a month? And
that question.
Right. It's like, we're going to create a strategic plan based on your needs. We're going to align with your objectives, and then we'll tell you what that plan is. I'm not going to promise you 10 pages a month just because.
How about this one? Besides that, how many pages of content, I hate when people are like, how many local landing pages do I get every month? Because they've been brainwashed into thinking I need a Ford dealer Dallas, Ford dealer Plano, Ford dealer Richardson, Ford dealer Garland, Ford dealer this. And they just expect that they're going to get these like tens of pages a month of whatever term in whatever local city. And like, that stuff doesn't work. But it's the sales and marketing for all these other companies that are, you know, it's easier for dealers and just business owners in general in any vertical to understand SEO when it's equated to content. It's hard to see that we tweaked your title tag and maybe changed your H1 and updated the meta description and the alt text on your images and updated the URL on your site, because you don't really pay attention to that. But hey, I got a new blog post or I got a new page. I see that. I understand that. So a lot of agencies have kind of evolved into just content companies, and all they do is they just churn out 4 or 5 pages of content a month, and that's really all they do. And dealers think they're getting SEO. So,
like you said, there's a lot behind the scenes dealers don't see. I feel like the number of pages feels comfortable because that's a tangible thing.
For sure.
You can say it was done. Just like we used to get all the time. I know some OEMs mandate certain like numbers of banners, but it'd be like, I got 14 banners I want to put up this month. And it's like, well, it's like banners get like 6% of all homepage clicks from a study we did with all of our dealer partners. And half of that are just on the first position banner.
Yeah.
So, you know, but
and I love that. Like we were auditing some sites from dealers we talked to at Digital Dealer. And I found one that had 19 images on their homepage slideshow. And it was a 5 or 6 second delay between each one, which means if you want to watch all 19 of those images, then you've got to sit there for a minute and a half without scrolling on the homepage. And it's just model, 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 model. Like, who cares? Nobody cares. And they're not thinking about the SEO implications of what does it take to load 19 images on the page. And they're not thinking about the SEO implications of this image is loaded in at 3000 pixels by 1000 pixels instead of the 500 by 400 that it needs to be for display on the site. And so they just don't think about all of these other implications to things. And it's not like it's their fault. Like there's, like we said earlier, there's just a lot to know and it's difficult to learn what you need to learn to have a good enough handle on SEO to be able to choose the right vendor partner, like we're talking about now, or to guide your in-house team. Cause that's something that gets ignored in automotive a lot. You have all these people trying to sell SEO, but you've got these groups that, you know, usually by the time a group gets to 20, 25 stores, they're at least going to have a couple of people in-house at the group level handling their digital marketing. Those guys are kind of screwed when it comes to this entire digital marketing situation, because all of the conferences, most of the sessions are around, hey, here's what we do for SEO, you know, and you guys give great presentations. We give great presentations that are like, here's how to do SEO, but it's also, hey, look, here's how we do SEO, right? Yeah. But that doesn't always help the people that are there from a marketing team, from a dealership group. And that's where it's important to start going outside of automotive. But it's also important, you can't just think, I've got a marketing team or even a marketing person in place at the dealership or at the group level. Cool. They're taking care of everything. We're golden. You still need to have somebody in charge of that person or that team that has enough understanding about what's important and what's going on and what they're doing, because otherwise you could just hire some person to sit there and that kid's going to sit there and write some blog posts and go, hey, we're great, boss. And your traffic's not growing. And you're not getting more leads, but hey, you think you're good because you got this person doing SEO. So it's important for, you know, GMs, owners, principals to have a basic understanding of SEO and to check in on these things, because otherwise you end up with these dealerships that waste thousands of dollars with no results.
Yep. I love the point. I just want to underscore that too, is, you know, I said like dealers are asking for this, but like you said, they've been conditioned, right? There was a vendor or someone they hired before that said, yeah, these banners are great. Or yeah, you want to get, you have to get this number of pages to be relevant for Google to crawl your site and for you to show up in SERPs, right? It's not, like you said, it's not their fault. It's that there have been these people who have conditioned this outdated way of thinking, and not, you know, and like you said at the very beginning, outdated tactics and strategies. Just like even recently, we had, I won't say who, but we had a website provider tell a dealer partner of ours that we create these model conversion pages, and there's not a lot of text on them. The point is to for the page to rank, right? And it gives, you know, some text about the vehicle that's relevant to you know, why they're interested in the vehicle, and has some value props, but it has inventory on the page below, you know, above the fold. So that way there's inventory right there. We're taking away another click. So that way, because we know every time a consumer has to click, it's an opportunity for them to bounce off.
Yep.
So this website, my whole point was this, the website provider tells them, well, wait, there's only like, you know, there's only so many words on this page. You should have at least 1,000 words on this page. Without 1,000 words, this page is not going to rank for you.
Which I hate that. Like, yes, there's a lot of research that's been done that says that 1,000 words is a good number. But what's more important is this the best answer to the question the searcher is asking? If you're writing, and you don't have to write the best answer on oil changes in the entire world, you need to write the best answer on oil changes in your local market. And if you can write the best answer that answers that question and the subsequent questions that they might have, then if that answer is 500 words in length, you don't need to add 500 words of fluff to hit the magic 1,000 word count. But that being said, a lot of the vendors in automotive that do SEO give you stuff that's like 350 to 500 words in length, and it's incredibly generic and crappy. And it's clearly not the best answer in the local area. Yeah. You know, a lot of times it is going to take 800 to 1,000 words to write a really thorough answer that is authoritative in your area. But there's never a magic number. There's never, and it's like somebody asked on a Facebook group this morning, hey, has anybody done yard signs or billboards for their dealership and how does it work? And everybody's like, well, you know, it can work, but it's more about branding. It's not going to bring in leads directly and blah, 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 blah. And I chimed in and I said, the more important question is, who's done this? And if you have, what did you do first? Because if you're thinking about billboards and yard signs and conquest email, but you haven't handled having an awesome website with a great user experience and done your conversion optimization on the website and doing SEO and doing paid search, it's pointless to do any of that other stuff, because what are those people going to do? They're going to come to your site. And if they can't find your site, or if your site sucks, all that other stuff isn't going to matter.
Exactly. It's all a matter of, like you said, yeah, that's what I hated about that, was that they were mandating a word count. And it's a matter of doing your due diligence, doing your keyword research, understanding queries being asked, and even finding holes to fill that consumers are asking that are not being answered. Like, for example, we actually wrote a blog about Porsche, the breakdown of Porsche models. Like, what do they mean? And we did our due diligence. We saw, like, no one's answering this question. No one's giving a clear answer to this. And Reunion Marketing ranks above Porsche.com for breakdown of Porsche models. So it's like, we did that as, like, sort of a test. Like, if someone who has, like, no business, no authority, no reason to rank well for this, if we answer the question well and answer a question that's not really getting a clear answer, will you see results? And so, yes. So I kind of want to close this out with two things. There were two other things you hit on to kind of wrap things up today. And one of those is link building. And I know you've given some recent presentations about link building. What are, whether it's, if you want to give one tip or, a few, what are some tips for link building for dealers? What are some things that aren't being done by and large in the industry to help with link building for dealers?
I mean, the most important thing that's not being done is just not thinking about it. So I love talking about this with auto dealers, because car dealers tend to already be really involved in the local community and pretty philanthropic. Like, they're giving back to the community. They're doing things in the community. They're active in the community. And those are all opportunities to get links, and they're all opportunities to get mentions on other sites where, you might have restaurants or lawyers or doctors or whatever it might be, and they don't do that. They're not out in the community. So it's a lot harder to do a lot of the things you would need to do. But for car dealerships, a lot of times it's like, hey, what have you guys been doing in the community? What sort of charities, what sort of sponsorships, what sort of things do you do community involvement and philanthropy wise? And you get this big list of, oh, we've been doing these things every year for the last 10 years. And you look at that list of the 20 things a year that they've been doing for years, and they got one link out of all of that stuff. And it's like, guys, you've got to take the extra step and go, hey, we just spent $10,000 buying hole 18 at this golf tournament for the last 10 years. Hey guys, can we get a link from the golf tournament website? Yeah, sure you can. Like, a lot of times you just have to ask. So it's, The simplest thing is look at what you're already doing and look at what relationships you already have in place and just ask for the link from those things. It's super easy. But then it's being purposeful, like figuring out what's going to work for your dealership and the way that you do things. You can't just parrot your competition and try to get the same links they have. You want unique links to win. So think about the things that you can do that your competitors aren't going to be doing. And that's what's going to be the big win. And yeah, there's all the tactics of things that you can do that we could go through, but more it's the idea, the mindset behind it is be more purposeful with link building, where most of the time people either don't know about it or they know about it and they know it's complex, so they just leave it to their vendor or their internal team. But link building is not hard to understand. The key point is another website links to you for a reason. What's that reason? Why is it benefiting that other website or the audience of that other website to link to your dealership, and pursue opportunities to get more stuff like that that your competitors don't have? That's the easy way to win.
Awesome. Great insights. I want to close this out with getting your perspective on this, because I know that you travel and speak a lot. And I know it's, like you said, also outside of automotive. What are some other conferences you would recommend to dealers to have their people go out and attend or virtually attend to really get more of a perspective of digital marketing as a whole? Like, what are some others you would recommend outside of the industry?
So for sure, PubCon is a great one. They've got one in Florida every spring and one in Vegas every fall. Timing might be difficult for the Vegas one, even though it's a bigger version of that one, because it tends to fall right around when driving sales and digital dealer are. There have been many years in the past where I've just had to spend 2 weeks in Vegas because they're just back to back. But that's a great one. SMX is a great conference series to attend as well. They've got one on the East Coast, they've got one on the West Coast, and then they've got one, an advanced level one in Seattle every year. MozCon's a good one just to kind of network with people. It's a more of an experience as well. Like the other ones, yeah, they're conferences or whatever. MozCon really goes for the whole experience of everything. And a lot of people that are big names in SEO will go to that one just because we all hang out and have fun together, even if we're not speaking. So that one's a good one. And then there's a lot of regional ones that are great as well. So like there's one in Dallas that they just did Monday and Tuesday this week called State of Search. And so a lot of these regional ones, they're a little bit easier to get to because it's not several thousand bucks for a ticket. And, you know, it's usually bigger cities you can fly into. So Dallas has one. There's one in Minnesota. There's one in, where's the other one? Denver's got one. Portland has one. So look for these smaller kind of regional things. And the good news is, at least for a while, there's still a lot of smaller conferences. Oh, Local U is another really good one because Local U is all specifically about local SEO. And that one's a great one. All the local SEO experts are at that one. That one's great. They're doing one November 30th. I don't know when this is going to air, but you know, there's multiple Local U events and they're all virtual. So it's easy. And that's what I was getting to is a lot of these conferences are either still virtual because of COVID or they're like a hybrid kind of thing where you can buy an in-person ticket or buy a virtual only ticket. And that makes it a heck of a lot easier because then you don't have travel expenses involved as well.
Yeah. Awesome. I'll love every one of those. I've never attended PubCon, but I've seen the content that goes on there. I've been to a MozCon. One of the ones that I've been to is the Internet Summits. I don't know if you've ever been to one of those, but that's one of those local regional ones. And they go to like Raleigh and different places as well.
Yep.
Which I got some value out of that. Now, before I let you go, even though you're a dastardly competitor and we're supposed to hate each other, you produce video content for Search Lab that also does help educate on different topics. Tell us about the video and the content you're producing for Search Lab that you're putting out there to help continue great conversations.
Yep. So I have a weekly video series called Local Search Tuesdays. So it's every Tuesday morning. It's usually short, like less than 5 minute videos, usually around 3 minutes of one particular tactic, an explanation of that tactic. So it's easily digestible, quick tips on really specific things that matter. And I'm a goofball. And so they're usually, you know, they're fun. There are other things going on. I've got like my not so evil twin will come out because I shoot on a green screen. So I'll have conversations with myself and I'll do goofy things. I did one on spam. And every time I said spam, I held out a can of spam and it went spam. So like, it's fun stuff. So I do that. That comes out every Tuesday. We also have another video series called Suds and Search, which is a video podcast, which hopefully you're going to be on soon. That comes out every Thursday. And that's more of like this. It's interviewing other experts and talking about stuff. And those are more long form. They're usually, you know, half an hour, 40 minutes long. So we put out a lot of video content and mainly I do my videos because I'd much rather shoot a video than write a blog post because I'm just kind of overwriting.
I feel you on that. Definitely. Well, awesome. So anyone listening, make sure you engage with that content and of course, follow Mr. Greg Gifford. So many great insights and thank you again for carving out time to join me on the KPI Cafe.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And everyone, I'll catch you for the next KPI Cafe.